It has always been around. It will always have a niche. But they'll make it a privilege, not a right, accessible only to the rich. Hey, pro-lifers need to dig themselves, because life don't stop after birth. And for a child born to the unprepared, it might even just get worse. The situation would surely change if they were to find themselves in it. Supporters of the H-bomb and firebombing clinics.
Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is feminist activist Frances Kissling. She was president of Catholics for Choice until her retirement in 2007. She's currently a visiting scholar at the Center for Bioethics at the University of Pennsylvania, and she serves on the advisory boards of the Journal of Feminist Ethics and the Women's Bioethics Project. She is a consultant to the Western Hemisphere region of the International Planned Parenthood Federation, where she develops and conducts value clarification workshops for doctors and nurses working on reproductive health in Latin America. She writes a weekly column for Salon.com and blogs at religiondispatches.org. Welcome to Background Briefing, Frances Kissling.
Hi, Ian. How are you? I'm just on a plane that landed, so I hope we don't get too many announcements.
Don't worry. We're on a roll.
Okay.
And you're just back from Honduras, where you've been working on women's reproductive health in Latin America. But you're here in Los Angeles, I believe. You're being honored by WRAP, which is the Women's Reproductive Rights Assistant Project. That's WRRAP. They're naming you scholar and activist of the year, I guess, and along with the other activist Sandra Fluke at their event tomorrow night between 6 and 8 p.m. Here in Beverly Hills. And if anybody wants to go and see Frances Kissling and Sandra Fluke, where there will be a vigorous discussion after they get the awards reception, they can go to wrrap.org/events. That's wrrap.org/events. So you're here to be honored, but this seems to me that this war against women's reproductive rights, it sort of reminds me of what happened yesterday in the Supreme Court ruling, striking down the Voting Rights Act, saying that somehow we no longer have a problem with discrimination, which is, of course, absurd, because the Republicans in all of these states have a myriad of new and improved modern Jim Crow devices that they keep coming up with all the time to nibble away at the voting rights of minorities. But they also do the same thing on the abortion issue. In fact, more relentlessly and more persistently do they nibble away at Roe v. Wade. And a little over a week ago in the House, they voted for the most repressive abortion law in many decades. And then last night in the Texas State House, there was this extraordinary filibuster by Senator Wendy Davis, who stood for 11 hours in her pink running shoes against one of the most pernicious of these many laws that was about to pass. And this would effectively force all of the abortion clinics in Texas to bring the clinics up to the standards of expensive hospitals, which would effectively bankrupt them. So the devices are so manifest and devious. This is not a battle that's going to go away, is it?
No, definitely not. And I think that we've seen over the last several years, increasingly in state after state, in many, many states, the passage of laws that restrict women's rights in these arenas, and really, it's actually quite shocking. I think that one of the things about Texas that was so energizing, however, was the fact that was Wendy Davis's filibuster, which really, you know, gained national attention with, you know, over 100,000 people watching it live streaming. And the number of activists who were there in the chamber and were really quite vocal and quite vigorous. I have a feeling, I'm not generally the most optimistic person on this issue, but I have a feeling that that enough is that there is a sense within the women's community and with among sensible people that enough is enough, and perhaps we are now going to see a much more vigorous defense of reproductive rights and the right to choose abortion than we've seen in the last several years, probably in the last decade. I think that finally it must be clear to people that that this is not going to stop, and that that these rights are being seriously eroded. And I would hope that the Jim Crow decision would also wake people up to some of the dangers that exist within the Supreme Court.
Well, but do you see an analogy there between these devices that are used that are dishonest and are labeled in the case of voting rights suppression or voter suppression? Then they are labeled as helping voting rights and bringing about modernization and all of that stuff. And that's, and the same with the abortion anti-abortion people. They keep saying that. You know, we're only trying to protect women's health. And I guess that horrible abortion doctor guy that they brought to trial recently been an enormous gift to them. But it's always couched in this language. They're actually trying to help when clearly they are completely dishonest about what their real motives are, which is to essentially – you know, outlaw abortion altogether and put women back to the 1950s.
I think that's been the danger, is that, you know, it's presented as, for example, the really outrageous things with transvaginal ultrasounds that was so active last year. It's presented as the gold standard of women's health. And why wouldn't those of us who are activists really want to see that kind of thing available to women? And in this case, why wouldn't we want to see clinics up to the highest standards? And, you know, it totally belies, as you say, the motive, which is to make all abortion unavailable. And, you know, it's the same tactics that we've actually seen from the very beginning. The first restrictions that came on abortion were the restriction on the use of Medicaid funds for poor women. Now, all of these measures are designed to make access to the procedure very, very hard. We now know that about 47% of abortions at present are being performed for women who are poor and low income. And so these kinds of measures are the very measures that make it impossible for those women to get those health services.
So, again, I'm speaking with Frances Kissling, who's president of Catholics for Choice until her retirement in 2007. She's currently a visiting scholar at the Center for Bioethics at the University of Pennsylvania, and she serves on the advisory boards of the Journal of Feminist Ethics and the Women's Bioethic Project. She's a consultant to the Western Hemisphere region of the International Planned Parenthood Federation, where she develops and conducts value clarification workshops for doctors and nurses working on reproductive health in Latin America. And she writes a weekly column for Salon.com and blogs at religiondispatches.org. So do you think that the House recently passing this draconian anti-abortion legislation, which is one of the most severe attacks, I think, in decades, what are the chances of that backfiring? Now, in the case of this heroic filibuster where the Senator Wendy Davis stood on the floor for over 11 hours in her pink tennis shoes and managed to stop this bill from going into effect and ran out the clock. They, of course, the Texas legislature, which is dominated by conservatives, and of course, Governor Perry is an arch conservative, albeit a somewhat dim-witted one. They already
it's
are saying.
Not so unusual.
What? Well, they're
it's
already
saying. Not so unusual.
They're already saying that they've got all kinds of ways that they're going to get around it and start again. And they're declaring victory in the face of defeat. But what about the politics at the national level with the House? Do you think that? I mean, my understanding is that these. People that are obsessed with women's bodies, and that they essentially are getting a moral free ride because they can feel self-righteous about not killing babies. At the same time, they don't want to take care of these babies at all once they're born. So there's a manifest hypocrisy in this idea that you can care about somebody else's womb as though you had jurisdiction over it. So tell me what's your reading on whether or not at the federal level, in terms of the population of this country, overall, are these anti-abortion people going to win at the end of the day, or are they going to lose?
Well, I think that they are going to lose. I think that, you know, in the short term, the reality is that the Senate and the President are the protection that we have. And it's the House that's filled with really quite a number of crazies on the abortion issue. I think that what we're seeing is that, that the overreaching is actually what's resulting in a reaction, a positive reaction towards abortion rights. I mean, you have the doctor in the House who's name I can't remember, who was very much in the leadership of this measure, saying that fetuses could masturbate, and if they can experience pleasure, then they can also experience pain. And I think those kinds of comments, and particularly often the relationship now or the hostility to women who have been raped or who are victims of incest, is really causing an outrage among people. So I do think that we will see in the elections in 2014 this being a much more vital issue in the congressional races, and I think we will see some people lose their seats because of it.
Well,
ultimately, that's what works.
So, do you think then, for example, that there are more people down in Texas than we thought, that maybe in these red states they're not quite as dominated? Maybe they are politically dominated by these Christian Coalition right to life people. It's obviously a lot of people were gratified to see Senator Wendy Davis take this stand. I'm just wondering how alone she is in those states. I suspect she's not quite as alone as people think she is.
Well, I think in Texas that she really has a good opportunity, and that Texas is a state that could go blue again. So there, I think there's hope. I also think that your earlier comments about comparing this to the Jim Crow decision is very valid and might also influence things in 2014, because it may not be that some people come out and vote for a more progressive legislators because of the abortion issue, but definitely because of the issues related to race. And I think that, one of the big myths in the abortion field is the myth that Hispanics and Black people are less pro-choice than the white population. And that's simply not true. And I think, again, as we see a broader reaction to regressive policies, that also is going to spill over into the abortion and the family planning issue.
Well, the irony is, of course, that the ruling that came down yesterday, voiding the Voting Rights Act for preclearance, the very what the Voting Rights Act stopped in the last election was the Texas redistricting plan, which now is back in force. And guess what? Wendy Davis, the senator, is going to be redistricted out of existence because of yesterday's Supreme Court ruling. So there you have it. I thank you for joining us, Frances Kissling, again, the president of Catholics for Choice until her retirement in 2007, currently a visiting scholar at the Center for Bioethics at the University of Pennsylvania. She serves on the advisory boards of the Journal of Feminist Ethics and the Women's Bioethics Project and is a consultant to the Western Hemisphere region of the International Planned Parenthood Federation, where she develops and conducts value clarification workshops for doctors and nurses working on reproductive health in Latin America. She writes a weekly column for Salon.com and blogs for ReligionDispatches.org. And tomorrow night, she's going to be honored as a Person of the Year by Women's Reproductive Rights Assistant Project. That's WRRAP, along with political activist Sandra Fluke. That's at 6 p.m. tomorrow in Beverly Hills. You can get tickets by going to rrap.org/events. That's WRRAP.org/events. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon. This program is available for podcasting at ianmasters.com. You can also contact me. And I'll be back again tomorrow at 5 with another Background Briefing. Bye for now.